Thousands of people visit the 9/11 memorial in New York every day. Children play by the fountain that surrounds the footprint of what once were the world's tallest buildings. Some people take the time to read at least some of the names of the people who died here on 9/11. People stop, remember, and envision what was once here. Before the World Trade Center was an unmistakable presence on the New York skyline, before the towers became an unforgettable absence, the buildings were a vision in the mind of an architect. The buildings were designed by Minoru Yamasaki. His firm designed the entire complex, not just the Twin Towers, but also the Customs House and other surrounding structures. The working designs are kept here, in the archives of the state of Michigan. That's right, the designs for the World Trade Center reside in Lansing, almost 700 miles from Manhattan.
You can see here's the World Trade Center. And they have all their different when they needed to make notations on them, they would make notations and stamp it and date it.
Mark Harvey runs his finger along one of the blue lines that make up the architect's designs of the World Trade Center. Harvey is the official archivist of the state of Michigan. He's showing me one of several large books that hold the designs. Harvey says what makes these drawings significant is they're the working designs, the World Trade Center as it was built, with the corrections and adjustments that were made along the way. Those books that contain the drawings are part of the archives collection of Yamasaki's work, rescued from the Yamasaki offices in Troy. That was in 2010, 24 years after Yamasaki had died and his namesake firm was going bankrupt.
Architects a lot of times sort of laugh at historians and archivists when we get excited about these types of materials because they just see them as a tool. To them, the exciting part is the actual building. This is just the means to get there, so they're always curious as to why we're interested them in them. I mean, in this particular instance, it's interesting because the buildings are no longer there.
How the state of Michigan came to own the designs is a bit of a cloak and dagger tale, as it's told by Mark Harvey. Harvey says he got a phone call back in 2010 that the Yamasaki offices were about to be cleared out and much of the material auctioned off by Oakland County to pay for back taxes. But a lot of it was going to be shredded and tossed in the trash. This was a big deal because Yamasaki was one of the most important and influential architects of the 20th century. Harvey says he went to work and started making phone calls.
We did get a call back from the county treasurer saying, you can go in, but we have to get ready for an auction on Wednesday morning. So you have between 8 a.m. and noon on Tuesday, which was the following day, to get whatever you can.
Harvey pulled together a crew to be waiting at the door the following morning. But first, Harvey had to resolve another issue, getting clear ownership of whatever they could pull out of the Yamasaki offices. The county had a lock on the door, but there were no court rulings or anything like that clearly establishing that the Yamasaki firm no longer owned them.
The CEO of Yamasaki at that time, as far as we knew, was a fugitive because of the tax evasion. So we did have a phone number from him. He was concerned about preserving the record. So we actually met. He set it up that we'd meet in the parking lot of the Starbucks down the street from the building the next morning. So I arrived at 7:30, a black Lexus pulled in next to me, and the window rolled down, and he waved me in, so I got out of my car and walked over and sat in the seat. It's as clandestine as it sounds, actually.
Harvey says they talked for about 20 minutes. The CEO signed the release, and Harvey and his crew went to work. He says they worked as quickly as they could over the next 4 hours. Papers were flying, file cabinets banged against walls in the rush to get them into the moving van. Harvey says he just grabbed things, not sure of what they were, whether they were valuable or not.
And the shredders moved in right behind us with their dumpsters.
When noon came, that wasn't the end of it.
My sense that day was, in talking to the former CEO, that everything wasn't there. And he had hinted along the way that there was other stuff that he was holding back. So at about noon, I got a phone call from him that day. We were clearing out the office, and he said, well, there was one other place, and to meet us at this storage facility in Troy. So we packed up and went over there, and that's where the World Trade Center drawings were. He had hid them in a storage unit because there was still lingering litigation from the 9/11 disaster. So he had hidden those drawings in the storage facility.
The value of these drawings is just enormous.
Pauline Saliga is with the Society for Architectural Historians in Chicago. She made that initial phone call to Mark Harvey, warning him that the Yamasaki records were in danger of being lost forever unless he did something.
These drawings show the architect's actual intent. They show how the building was constructed, what the engineering was. I mean, they're an incredibly important document of the buildings as they were built.
So back at the storage garage, here's mild-mannered scholar Mark Harvey being handed in spy caper fashion these designs for the World Trade Center, pulled from their hiding place.
It was a mixture of excitement and overwhelming sense of responsibility. Maybe a little pressure mixed in there. Like, we weren't expecting to be handed these materials, and now here they are, and that's great, but now we have an incredible responsibility to preserve them, make them accessible, and deal with the iconic nature of not only the building, but of the tragedy that followed.
Harvey says the work is still being cataloged and archived, and once that's done, the Michigan Library and Historical Center wants to make more of it available to the public. Right now, one book is on display as part of an exhibit about putting creativity on paper. There are plans for a more expansive Yamasaki exhibit next year in Metro Detroit. And Harvey says the goal is to have a large amount of the papers and slides posted online for people to see. The World Trade Center designs are significant, but only part of what's considered to be an important collection of architectural history. And here's one more thing. That's not the end of the story. Mark Harvey says every few months after the Yamasaki offices were cleared out, he would get a phone call from the CEO.
And he'll say, well, I have more stuff, and I'm going to drop it at, it's always a different, you know, I have more photos. So I think we're done now. It's been a year since I've heard from him. I think we're done.
But you don't know for sure.
I don't know for sure. He could call me. I don't know.